Welcome to the Disney View Podcast. Dave is a dreamer and an engineer. He's a one-time cast member, and he's been to Disney World literally hundreds of times. Listen in as he talks about one of his favorite things, the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, and occasionally beyond the Orlando theme park. And now, here's your host.
Please stand clear of the podcaster. Por favor, manténganse alejado del David.
Hey everyone, it's Dave. Welcome to part two of my tour around all four parks at Walt Disney World. As I told you in the last podcast, I really like to tour the heck out of the parks and have a great time and see as much as I possibly can. So come with me as I continue to tour around the parks. As you know, I started off with Epcot, then went over to the studios. If you ever make it over to the Hollywood Studios, I highly recommend going through Walt Disney One Man's Dream. There's an ever-changing cast of things that they have here that are from the history and the archives and things that are of interest to the Walt Disney Company, and I think it really is pretty neat, all of the different elements that they bring together, because they show you, like, Walt's old office, they show you some of the construction things about how they built some of Walt Disney World. They have some early artifacts from how Walt Disney used his creative mind to build things, and his team, of course, to build things. So those are all there as a part of what you see in Walt Disney's One Man's Dream. And I really appreciate the depth of story that they're telling here. It's almost an overlooked attraction because you walk by it and you just don't think about the things that are there. And every time I come in here, it's a little bit different than the time before. There's a different couple of elements that are in here that make it just interesting and compelling and make me want to keep coming back, because you really get a glimpse into the man's life and his times and what he was able to do. Things that kind of...
Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. Here it is, larger scale. Epcot will take its cue from the new ideas and new technologies that are now emerging from the creative centers of American industry. It will be a community of tomorrow that will never be completed, but will always be introducing and testing and demonstrating new materials and new systems. And Epcot will always be a showcase to the world for the ingenuity and imagination of American free enterprise. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for everyone who participates. Speaking for myself and the entire Disney organization, we're ready to go right now.
September of 1966, Walt Disney was very deeply involved in the planning and designing of Walt Disney World. His death left those of us in charge in deep shock and questioned whether or not to proceed with this sort of process without him. However, optimism and courage won out. Now, 5 years later, we are here today to dedicate a new Magic Kingdom to Walt Disney World.
And of course, the second person you heard speaking was Roy Disney, talking at the dedication for Walt Disney World.
We have a celebrity with us. Did you just call me a beach whale? You fuck you like a baby seal. Does your friend speak English? Kind of muttees. Star Wars weekends. Hey, so back to the show, and already in progress. We have a celebrity with us, world famous. Ow! Cowbell player, Miz Clay. Clay! Here we go. All right. Touch one and see if it's too hot. That's good. All right. Grab one of those and like so. Everybody else, if you don't have a cowbell, clap.
Well, I'm at a gentle bar.
course, you're listening to Mulch, Sweat, and Tears, a regularly occurring act here in Disney's Hollywood Studios. A lot of fun. You can sit there and listen to them. A very entertaining and engaging show that does a lot of different things. They kind of go over and play some contemporary music, but have a little fun doing it. It's kind of fun. Good entertainment. Right here on New York Street. So I'm walking by the American Idol experience, and I'm seeing some people auditioning, and I think the idea of auditioning is kind of cool. It gives a little bit of interactive experience in the whole thing, so you could be a part of the American Idol, and you get a chance to audition and be in front of some friends and family and maybe a few other guests who are in the park and doing your audition. And the way Disney works is it works since they own ABC. They have the ability to kind of shuffle you to the top. If you do really well here, at least you go on and get consideration to actually go on American Idol in the future. So it's kind of cool. If you're interested in that sort of a thing, it's a good way to kind of get in and, you know, get yourself noticed at least. But it's kind of cool the way they do that, because one of the things about the way the studios was originally set up was it was supposed to be an immersive and interactive experience where you were a part of the productions that were going on. So you would be in a part in a movie or a TV show, would be a part of something, and be able to experience it. So you would have these different shows, and I'll be talking about that on a future podcast. But that was the whole intent, was you could be a part of these things. And it wasn't just you come to the theme park and you wander around. It's more immersive than that. So it's kind of neat to see them doing that again with the American Idol experience. And at least you get an opportunity to kind of interact and immerse in it to a degree. All right, so I made it over to Epcot and to the studios, and now it's time to take a little break. I'm actually staying at the Sports All-Stars this time, and so I'm staying on property. I got a pretty good hotel rate, and it was worthwhile considering I would need the parking. And it actually worked out to be a little bit cheaper than if I'd have stayed off property, considering the parking cost. And so it made a lot of sense to just go ahead and stay here. Now, it's not the greatest hotel in the world. It's a very nice, okay hotel for the same price as some of the other hotels out there. It's just fine. It's not any bigger or any smaller than a, you know, regular hotel somewhere else. Often I stay at like a Sheraton or a Hampton Inn or something like that. And it's really no better or no worse than that. So it's fine for what it is. Now, the thing is about it, it's actually, I was watching Hotel Impossible the other day, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen this show, but it's a pretty entertaining look at hotels that are run down and how this guy goes in and helps them fix them. And one of the things he says is, you should be walk in and feel like you're comfortable, it's clean, and that you want to stay there. Because if you don't feel that way, you're going to want to leave. And you walk into the All-Star Resorts, and people are cheerful, and the hotel is very nice, it's very pleasant. It's not the most upscale hotel, certainly, but it is pleasant. You walk in, and they're very nice. Everybody's pleasant enough to you. They help you get checked in. And then you go over, and you see your room. And your room's okay, but it's clean. It's pleasant. It's got some Mickey accoutrements, and it feels kind of nice. And there's a little bit of theming that goes on that makes it kind of special. And it all works out just fine. And if you're just going to be staying there like I'm doing this time, and just, you know, crashing there at night and taking a little nap when it's really hot out, it's the perfect opportunity to take a break. So I'm going to take a little break for a bit, and then I'll head back out, and I think I'm going to head over to the Animal Kingdom next.
Guys,
where are you
going? You are so tough.
And park number three for the day will be the Animal Kingdom. You know, somehow seeing this park in the afternoon is not quite the same as seeing it in the morning. In the morning, it just has a special feel to it. But in the afternoon, it's still pretty nice. Try again.
Save your finger on top. You can put your tickets in.
Thank you. Misread the first time, but I made it through. So here we are.
Mom.
Now, as I said before, I love this park. There's a certain charm to it that makes it different from all the other parks. It's laid out differently. It has a different vibe to it. But I really like it. And I just, once I understood all the detail that went into all of the different exhibits and how all the buildings have permits and they're all structurally like they might be in the appropriate region, it kind of took on a whole new meaning for me. Kind of like I was talking about in Epcot, where there's all these different things that kind of fit together and it's in the architectural styles and everything works. It's really kind of interesting, and I enjoy seeing this park this way.
Small hole in the ground here.
Yeah. Okay, let me show you. The ramp is the tree.
Ah, the tree of life. It has a nice centerpiece for this this particular location, this park. I think it really does kind of speak to the nature of the park and the animal conservation that they have in mind. And this relates back to Walt Disney's original vision for kind of keeping something different, where you think about the nature of what Walt Disney had in mind when he was... Try that again. And this goes right along with Walt Disney's vision when he was thinking about how to make a live animal park and making it a focal point with what happens there. And that reminds me, I need to do another podcast specifically about that and having the live animals and doing the... doing the Jungle Cruise and his wildlife adventures. I think there's an interesting story in there somewhere.
I was shaking at my...
There are a number of interesting details around the park. And as I walk around, one of the things is over in Dinoland, there's a board directly across from the Boneyard Fossil Fun Site. And it's got this richness to it as though there's a bunch of people who are living here in this dig site, and they're connecting with each other. So there's, you know, if you have a position available, you need a research assistant at the Dino Institute, somebody's looking for a place to live, there's famous quotes, there's little charts for the field, there's the patches there. It's very clever the way they've set it up. It almost feels like you're in a real site that's being used that way. And it just makes it that much more fun and interesting. And there's that richness of detail that most people just walk on past and they're like, why is that there? But there's much more to it than what you might think. And it's a remarkable thing. And if you just take the time to read through some of these things, you get an interesting feel for kind of what the Imagineers are trying, the story they're trying to tell. Now, the Primeval Whirl is one of the more whimsical rides that's around. It's very clever the way they've set it up, and they have you kind of going through time as you kind of spin around and go back and forth and up and down. It's a very clever little ride, a little showpiece for Dinoland. I think it kind of works in here. And then, of course, you have the Triceratops Pin, which is really just the same kind of system that Aladdin's Magic Carpets and Dumbo use. But it's still fun. You know, it's still a good time. Everybody seems to enjoy it. They go on it. They have some fun with it. And that makes it entertaining. And that's what it's all about, right? Just having some good entertainment and enjoying yourself. So being over in the Animal Kingdom, I wanted to check out a restaurant I had never tried before, so I went to the Yak and Yeti, which is more recently opened, and it was actually very good. Now, an interesting thing is that it's actually run by Landry Restaurants and not by Disney itself, which is kind of an interesting thing that Disney is doing, and I think it's probably for the best in the long run, because you get some interesting restaurants that you don't have to run yourself, and you can get some different kinds of chefs in there and different kinds of cuisines, and you don't have the overhead of running the restaurant. That's up to the company to run. But it really was pretty good. I thought it was very tasty. I had my maple tamarind chicken with some rice, and I thought mushrooms and bok choy that were stir fried, and it was really very tasty. A nice dish. I'll have to try making it at home. Actually, I enjoyed it that much. Now, interesting thing you may realize about me is I'm talkative. I tend to be loquacious and talk to a lot of different people. And when it comes to women, I can sometimes be a little bit of a flirt. I bet you wouldn't have imagined that about me. Just ask my friends. They say that about me all the time. I was dining alone, and there was a nice waitress there, and she was very pleasant. And so I wound up, you know, kind of chatting her up a little bit. Don't tell my wife or anything. No, I'm just kidding. It's all good. Just for fun, you know, just having a little fun with it, because I tend to talk, and that's who I am. But it's always interesting, because when you go in as a single person, which I was doing tonight, and you have that conversation, it's always kind of fun to have conversations like that and just kind of have a little fun with it and roll with it and, you know, just get to know the person just a little bit, because it makes it the dining experience just a little bit better. Anyway, so I'm going to head over now. I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to head over to the Magic Kingdom as my next stop for the fourth park of the day. So I've had a good time just kind of wandering around here, through here. Went through a number of different areas on the trail, as they say, just checking out different things, and went over to the Punjani Forest, walked through there for a little while, checked out Expedition Everest, though, as you may have guessed, I did not ride it, because that's not my thing, and really just kind of looked around a little bit and just kind of enjoyed the atmosphere and soaked it all up. You may hear in the background there's a DJ playing. It's a new thing I hadn't seen before, where they're playing some music and they have dancing out there and some things like that. It's really different, but good, you know, just a nice way to kind of wind it up. It's back to that whole idea of live music that you hear in the parks at times. So at the Yak and Yeti, you had an interesting little mix there. The building looks really old, and they've done a nice job of kind of making it look like something that's been there for a really long time and had maybe been repurposed and done some different things. It's very nicely done. And then also they tell you when you sit down that everything there is an original artifact that's been shipped over from somewhere in Asia, in that region anyway. So you can take a look around, take pictures. They encourage you to kind of spend some time and look around, which is really pretty neat, because you get a feel for, again, it's that feel for immersion where you feel like you're actually somewhere else other than Disney World. You know, just the way they spend the time to make these things and make them look right is really pretty incredible.
Disney's Contemporary Resort. We're now passing the newest addition to Disney Vacation Club, Bay Lake Tower at Disney's Contemporary Resort. As you approach the entrance, please keep your party together and have your tickets ready. Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently holding for further traffic clearance. Please remember to stay clear of all automatic doors. If you're standing, please continue to hold on to the silver handrails. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are approaching our station at the entrance of Main Street, USA, gateway to the 16 lands of the Magic Kingdom. Smoking is not permitted at the Magic Kingdom, except in designated areas. Please consult your guide map or ask a cast member for location. If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Magic Kingdom Monorail Station. Ladies and gentlemen, please collect your belongings, watch your head and step, and take seats.
Well, if ever there was a minimalist version of the monorail spiel, that was it. Still pretty cool because got to ride on the monorail that was the wrap with the Avengers, so that was pretty neat. I was sitting in front of the Hulk. And that's pretty much all I have time for today, so be sure and tune in next time to hear part 3 of my trip around the Walt Disney World Resort. And remember, if we can dream it, we really can do it. Bye now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Disney View Podcast. Show notes can be found on DisneyWorldPodcast.net. Looking to do some travel planning? Want to find an authorized Disney vacation planner? You should visit Destinations in Florida. Original music you hear in this podcast is courtesy of Sound On Music. You can find his music at ReverbNation.com/SoundA. Our thanks also go to Doug for his continued contributions to the show. You can find links to other great Disney podcasts, as well as the latest Twitter feed and the Disney Buzz, on DisneyPodcast.net. And don't forget to check out Dave's iPhone apps. There's a Hidden Mickeys app for finding and sharing Hidden Mickeys at all of the Disney parks around the world. There's also an app designed especially for pin traders. You can keep track of all your pins and your wish lists. Please be generous with your time or a donation to Autism Speaks. We do hope that you've enjoyed your visit and that you drive home safely. Show number 121.